You may have a seat. We are in the last Sunday of a sermon series that we've called the Lord's Prayers, where we're looking at the prayer that has come to be known as the Lord's Prayer and a different aspect of that prayer each week, but then also looking at other prayers the Lord Jesus prayed, and that can help teach us about prayer and praying and be a guide for prayer. That's definitely part of what we can get out of this series. But when we look at his prayers, what we also can discover is about life. Things about life. Things about, this is what Jesus prioritized in prayer, and it ended up being seen in his life itself. And then he says to us, follow me. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 11. This has been the passage we've looked at every Sunday to get us started, where it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. So, in reviewing what we've talked about the last weeks, when Jesus taught his disciples, and he said, how do we pray? When you pray, something different's going on, and we want in on that. He starts with Father. He starts with, in the other version of this prayer, that when he was teaching in a message, where he says, our Father, who's in heaven. He starts with Father, and we looked at all kinds of prayers that Jesus prayed that first week, and he always starts, Father, Father, Father. What does he know about the Father? The Father has said to him, a voice from heaven, this is my Son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. And Jesus says, now you can pray our Father. Jesus is praying this with us. Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. If we want life with him, we get in on the family. And so when we start in prayer, we remember who we're praying to. And we're praying to a God who loves us. A God who calls us son or daughter. A God who, Jesus, if we kept reading where I just started in Luke 11, eventually says, just wants to give us good gifts. And especially the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in our lives. That's who we're praying to. We just thank you that I'm loved. I am praying to someone who loves me, who's in the highest heaven, but also is with the lowly and the broken in heart and right here in our midst. And he loves me. That's when we start. And then in Jesus' instructions, he says, now start asking. With that in mind, start asking for things. But the first thing that Jesus prioritizes to ask for isn't usually at the top of our brains. Hallowed be your name. May your name be treasured. May you be known as you really are. Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name. And that is a prayer to be prayed, that he would be known as he really is. And if he's going to be known as he really is, then those of us who take on his name, who say we're Christians, who say we're followers of Jesus, then our lives can help people to know him as he really is. So that's part of the prayer too. Father, glorify your name. And then your kingdom come. Your reign, your rule, where what you want to happen, may it happen. Because on the earth, there's multiple kingdoms. And we know that his kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and his kingdom will not be overthrown. But we also have our own kingdoms, and we can decide what to do, and we can make our decisions, and we often pick opposite of him. So may it be in heaven. Heaven is where it always happens like God wants it to happen. And that's why there's no pain, no tears, no death in the realm of heaven. So we pray for that realm, for what God wants to happen here in our lives, in the locations we live. And if that's going to happen, one of the things is we're going to have to change our wanter, so we would join Jesus in his prayer that says, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Then we went to the next one, was give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need today. A lot of times we spend a lot of time worrying about next week and next year and what could come, but to trust, God, I trust if I ask, you're going to give me what I need today. Kind of physically, what I need just in normal life, but also spiritually, what I need for guidance, what I need for my soul. I'm praying that for others that don't have what they need right now. And I'm praying for the bread of life, for Jesus himself, who is outside of us, but for by his Spirit, for him to come more into my life so that the life I live by faith in Jesus Christ. I no longer live on my own strength, but I live by faith in Jesus Christ. He lives in me by his Spirit. The next week, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So we know we're going to fall short. We're not going to live up to things. And so this is the key to the kingdom. We don't have a relationship with God, life in his kingdom, without forgiveness. And he says this key to the kingdom he also gives to us. So Jesus says, part of your prayer is not, don't just ask, forgive me, but you say, and I'm going to be forgiven other people. Because we have the keys and we can unlock heaven when we forgive and goodness can come in. Or we have the key to say, I'm not going to forgive, and it keeps heaven out. But if we love as we've been loved, if we forgive as God has forgiven us, if we're kind and gracious, if we're speaking to build up rather than to tear down, all those things are things that it's the key that unlocks heaven to coming more into life. It never feels natural. It's just, it goes against the grain for us, but it's the key, and it just, something different happens when we move into that Spirit. And so lastly today, we just read, and lead us not into temptation. And lead us not into temptation. Now, in Matthew's account, where he's teaching and in the middle of a sermon, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So when we think about temptation, it's the things that we can think like being led into things we're not supposed to do that aren't good for us or aren't good for others if we do them. And that is part of it. But also the idea here is really has to do with testing, tribulations, trials, bad stuff. And lead us not into bad stuff, which would include us choosing things that aren't good, helpful, but also just bad things happening to us. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from bad things. And I'm going to take the next 10 to 15 minutes to just talk through that idea about delivering us from evil by looking at others of Jesus' prayers. So John 17, also sometimes called the Lord's Prayer, if you call the other prayer the Our Father prayer, sometimes called the High Priestly Prayer. This is a long prayer that Jesus prayed the night before he was crucified. And we've went through different parts of this in different weeks in the series. He starts, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. So he starts with Father, and he starts with hallowed be your name. And he starts by praying for himself. But then he gets to a part where he prays for the disciples who are with him. Verse 11, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Protect them by the power of your name. What does that mean? What does it mean to be protected by the name? How would we do that? I think we just did it today. Because part of what this is saying, I am taking on the identity of Jesus. My identity is as a Jesus follower, to be part of God's family. And that's what this act symbolizes. And it's more than just a mere symbol. There is some reality that comes with the symbol. And so when we baptize little children, there is a way in which part of what the parents are doing is saying, like, we want him to be under the name and the protection of the name until they can choose for themselves. But there has to be a time where we profess our faith publicly, where we come into that name. And that's what this can seal. It's like the signatures that says, yes, I'm coming into that agreement. I want his name. I want to join with the others who are taking on his name. That's what happened there. And Jesus, when he's praying, he's saying, that name provides protection. That name provides protection. He goes on to say, I'm coming to you now. He's talking to God, his Father. But I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Protection from Jesus means we have joy from Jesus. And a lot of times I don't think about it that way. I don't think about what he's protecting. One of the things he wants to protect is a joy, a goodness, something in us that is just bursting. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Now, Crystal, in a moment, I want to go back to verse 15. He is praying this prayer, and he's saying, like, okay, I'm not sending them out, or I'm not, like, taking them so that when I say protect them, that they would never be around any bad things, any wrong things, any, and we'll just keep them safe and you know, away from everything. No, he is sending. If you say, I want Jesus' name, then he wants to send you out into a broken world that needs to know him and his love. But verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So there is a, you know what? It's not sheltered, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's not a sheltering protection. It is in some ways. But in other ways, it's still, we are going in his name. I am going to read this. So he's praying these prayers for the disciples who are with him at that time. When he goes on, I don't know which verses I gave you, Crystal. Can you bring it up for me? What is it, 21 or 22? 22. Okay, we'll go with that. I have given them, now he's praying for those who will believe. That could include any of us. This is him praying for us. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. When Jesus is praying for protection in the name, he's praying for protection in the name and that we would receive glory, that the glory he wants to give us so that we can bring glory to the Father would be protected, that the unity that he wants to give to those who call on his name would be protected. And the Bible is filled with examples of the devil's goal is to divide us, to get us to be fighting one another. And he wants to protect the unity of that, and he wants to protect the awareness that we are loved by God. That is his protection. And the evil one, evil in the world, wants the exact opposite. Wants to divide us, wants us to not think we're loved, wants us to not live into the glory that God has created us for. One more prayer from Jesus. It's found in, again, the night before Jesus was crucified. And it's Luke chapter 22. And it's not, we don't have the exact wording of his prayers, but he just informs what he's been praying. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. He's talking about his disciples again, close to him. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So this is to Simon Peter. They've just been talking about trying to figure out who's great, who's got it going on. And Jesus starts talking about service, which, by the way, is the next series we're going to get into starting next week about what Jesus says about serving. But here, he says, I have, that the devil, the evil one, Satan, has asked to take you out. Those of you who've been following me around for 3 years, he's been asking to take you out. But I have prayed for you, that your faith in me would not fail. And so when you turn back, because it, to an extent, it does fail. The evil comes and just takes it, takes something out of us. Takes something out of him. But he's prayed, and that prayer will uphold him. And then when he comes back, that he would strengthen the other people, because we are in a battle, a war against evil. And so much of what we have going on, we're deceived thinking about what's important, and we're missing that the devil is trying to kill our joy, to divide us constantly, and most of all, to take away our faith, that we would not have a connection with God. That's what the devil's aim is. And he's not just like going after those really bad people, whatever that means. Here is Simon Peter, like the lead disciple. And Jesus is, who, by the way, right after this says, I would go to prison with you, I would die with you. And Jesus says, you aren't even going to make it 24 hours. And he doesn't, before he's denied him. So no matter how much we need to be delivered from evil again and again and again. It's coming to just take us out. And maybe one of the ways it can most take us out is for us to be overconfident and start to forget that we need the Lord. I think it's good to pray, God, please don't give me trials. Don't give me troubles. Don't, please keep me away from those things. That's good. And I think he responds. But there are certain things that I think he allows. It's not coming from him, but I think he allows that will produce something in us that wouldn't happen otherwise. And so I've given the example multiple times, but having a back surgery where I still have permanent nerve damage all the way down my leg. Now, if my goal is hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, I want to want what you want, I want people to see who you are through my life, then that was not a bad thing for me. I mean, it was an awful thing for me. To not put my own socks and shoes on for a year, that was no good. To have my kids having to do everything and my wife having to do it, that was not feel good. But if you want to talk about me having compassion for other people and whether it went up or down out of that experience, if you want to talk about me learning to depend on God out of that experience, way up. Now, when bad things happen, it can do one of two things. When bad things happen, it can pull us away from the Lord. Why would we even trust him? Look what happened. You didn't answer me. You let this happen. And it's just, we're out. And Satan is wanting the bad things to take us out, away from connection with God. But if we pray for one another, then it does not take us out. And actually what happens is we become more connected to God. We can become more like Jesus. That is what's at stake. Either way, it does not take a very spiritual person, a very analytical person to see evil is in the world, trying to destroy human beings. And there is one who said, not my will, but yours be done. I want to take evil onto myself so that what you can have is love and forgiveness. What you can have is life eternal. I don't understand how prayer works, and I don't understand why sometimes it doesn't seem like it works. But I think it matters. I think if Jesus isn't praying that Simon's faith doesn't fail, then this story could be a lot different. And I think if we don't pray, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for ourselves and for other people, it makes a difference. Evil's going to keep happening either way. It's not taking a break either way. But we know the one who conquers evil and who says, I will respond to your prayers. Deliver us from evil. So I'm going to have the worship team come up now. I'm looking around the room right now, and there's some people I don't know or don't know very well. And there's some people who I have prayed for some. And there are some of you who there have been periods of time when I've prayed for you every day for weeks on end. There's some of you who I'm praying for right now every day. I can't pray for everybody every day. But in periods of time, I get the 10, 20, 30 people that I try to pray for every day. And my number one prayer, I don't use this language, but is that your faith wouldn't fail, or that you'd come to faith. And one of the reasons, even though I have seen plenty of unanswered prayer, I've seen plenty of it, one of the reasons that I believe in God is because when I have been praying over time for people's souls, how many people I've seen come to the Lord. Sometimes, at least for a time, because there is something trying to sift people out. I think that my number one job is to pray. But I think if I didn't have this job, and I wouldn't say that this is necessarily true for everybody. I know this is true for me. I know the year that I had off in between ministry 12 years ago, that my number one job as a person, my number one calling as a person is to pray, because I have seen the difference it makes. And so before we go into our last song, I just want us all to pray. I want us all to pray. And we'll just use Jesus' prayers. So to warm up, let's say the Lord's Prayer together, and then I'm going to lead us into praying a little bit before we go into the last song. Let's do that. So the words are on the screen if you want them. If you want to use art or trespasses or debts, it doesn't matter to me. We're all hitting the same main notes. So let's pray together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, you reign high above all rule and power and authority. By your death on the cross, you made a public spectacle of your enemies, and you triumphed over them. The kingdom of light has and will continue to conquer the kingdom of darkness. There is no person, thing, entity, evil that can stand against you. And we want to align with your will. So we pray, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. And I'm just going to ask, whether it's a whisper or whether you want to say it in more than a whisper, but I want to ask that we all just say this out loud for a little bit. I wonder what happens if we agree, and even agree out loud together, for God to deliver us from evil. So we'll just repeat it a few times. Deliver us from evil. It doesn't have to all match, just whenever you want to say it. Deliver us from evil, God. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Take it away from us. Take away the testing and tribulation. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the things that take us away from you. Deliver us from the things that have us hurting each other or hurting ourselves. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. God, as we sing this last song now, I pray your spirit would come, that evil's bound away, and so that heaven can come into this place, into our lives, into our minds, into our hearts. May it be so this whole time we're singing this song, for we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
No longer.